Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we go through primates in popular culture from chimpanzee all the way down to chimpanzee. Today I've got two special primates with me, Claire Tonti and Mr. Sunday Movies, aka James ... surname.
Clements.
Oh, yeah.
That is, you saluted as well, which is not great for an audio medium.
No, I wasn't sure if that was a public thing or not.
Oh, no, it is. It's out there. Yeah, but it's not...
He's a celebrity now.
We were talking about this before the show. He's very precious. I just don't like people knowing who I am or where I am or what I'm up to.
You know what? A lot of celebrities, though, their names are public. It's a big part.
It's probably a massive part of the whole thing.
What's Cher's last name then?
Oh, very good point.
Thank you.
Very good point.
Yeah, I really
Madonna,
don't know.
Madonna, I don't know. Adele, I don't know.
No. Kylie. Oh, no, that's my name.
You guys aware of what this podcast is?
100%.
No.
Oh, well, it's just about primates and popular culture.
Oh, is it?
Going from chimpanzee to chimpanzee.
Okay, yeah.
All the way.
Do you have a favourite primate?
Other than James Clement.
Oh.
Very good. Thank you.
Because you're a real monkey man.
Hey,
I know, I'm being so rude. I think my favourite has to be the orangutan.
Great choice.
Yeah, I love the orangutan. I love their faces and I like their orangeness and they're like very kind of human-y. And at the zoo, there's like all these orangutans that like to try and escape all the time.
Really?
Yeah, they're really cool.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, actually, it's really sad.
You enjoy the fact that the orangutans want out, but they're not allowed to.
Actually, I've never thought about it like that. It was more just that they're, you know, you get the feeling like they're all in there having fun and like trying to maneuver themselves out and like trick the keepers. But maybe they're all sad. Oh, no.
Well, I like how they all have different heads. You know that one with the big wads on the side?
Absolutely, yeah.
What is wad the
wad?
Right
yeah, like a sail.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
I get exactly what you mean. That is exactly what I like. And this is an audio medium, guys. Nobody can see you doing the hand action.
It'd be great. Like, you know when you're driving on a sunny day?
Yeah.
Like an orangutan with the wads. They'd be cool. They'd be cool with that.
Is that terrible peripheral vision?
It couldn't be good for peripheral vision.
No, it's a bit like a horse with those flappy things on the side of their eyes.
Wads.
Wads. Yeah. That's the official term.
Blinkers or wads, I think.
Yeah, are wads. It's not blinkers. Yeah. What world are you living
in? That's true. Yeah. I think orangutans wouldn't be good AFL footballers because, peripheral visions.
And lack of knowledge of the rules.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And you let them loose in a stadium. There's a few reasons.
Any which way.
That's right.
They'll try and escape. That's what they'll do from the stadium. Yeah.
So orangutan, very good. That's probably been the most popular one with previous guests as well.
I reckon it's,
I'm trying to figure out mine, but I think it's definitely in the game.
It's up there.
It's right up there. Is in the game a term?
Yeah.
Let's go with it.
It's an orangutan football term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Orangutan.
Orangutan.
Yeah.
For me, it's It's probably the gorillas, because Claire and I went, we saw the gorillas in Uganda. We went and walked the out band. There and the gorilla, yeah, it was weird.
It was really weird. It was really
they were out on the
kind
savannah.
Of,
we hiked all day. They were just sitting in a forest.
Yeah, but it wasn't that, it was a lot more disappointing than I pictured.
Yes, and that's what I wanted to say, because a gorilla up close just looks like a man in a gorilla suit.
Also.
Which sounds really negative.
No, but also they're very stinky. They just fart all the time. Mm. They're like Homer Simpson.
They are, yeah.
But
just
as a
covered
gorilla.
In flies and.
Yeah, scratching themselves.
They're
and
fascinating.
Farting.
Like their strength is, I find, fascinating.
But I mean, if you're going to see an animal in person, you want them to smell. I mean, otherwise, just watch them on TV.
What are you doing there? Yeah.
Don't you want them in all three or four Ds? The fourth D is stink.
That is, that's right. Yeah.
I guess so, but I think because I had this really romantic idea that I'd be like Jane and trekking through the jungle and I'd see them like gorillas in the mist or something. And instead, we kind of just like hiked for an hour and cut a few vines and then came to a clearing and they were all just kind of sitting there like, hi, you guys. And then they were just scratching and then their farts were so loud. It was really ruining my romantic experience.
Well, they were bored. They'd seen it before. They get, you know, hundreds of people through presumably a week. They don't give a shit.
Imagine your whole existence being seen as boring. Oh, is this all you got? Oh, okay. You're not going to dance?
Know.
Dance
yeah,
for
yeah.
me.
Oh.
No one has a bike. They can do some laps
do
on it. Do
some
something.
Tricks. Yeah. What you wanted to go to was a circus.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, just with gorillas.
Just with gorillas.
They weren't doing any cartwheels. There was no gorilla in a clown suit.
Mm.
Nothing. They were just hanging out, just chilling.
Circus sucks, straight up.
Yeah, I'm not a... All Andy versions. Circus is great. Obviously, on this podcast, Andy Circus is a god.
Yep, good, fair.
But,
yeah.
but the circus, which is another name we have for Andy Circus from now on. But the circus, yeah, is, I don't like it as well.
Yeah, I'm sure the Cirque du Soleil is very good and whatever.
I went to the Beatles one when I was in Vegas and that was pretty good. But, I mean, a lot of what I enjoyed about it was the Beatles music.
You didn't like the smell? Like, because that's what you're
farted
going for.
A lot.
Yeah.
And loudly.
Yeah, really?
It ruined the romanticism for me.
Oh, that's the fourth dimension. It's what you deal with. Yeah.
I've suddenly had a realization I'm a massive wanker. Yeah. Aren't I? After that
that's
story.
Why we brought you on.
Yeah.
This isn't a real podcast. Matt and me just wanted to tell you that.
Just I want to come to that realization. Mm. Oh, no. So you love gorillas. They're your fave.
I'm indifferent, but yeah, I like them.
Like silverback.
Yeah, any of that. I just think that their culture is really interesting. And that obviously ties into the movie we're talking about today.
It certainly does. Actually, the silverback that we saw, that was really sad.
And then there was an old silverback that was sad because he was used to be the boss and now he's not.
He got usurped by his son. And so he was sitting alone by himself and just covered in vines. He didn't want to look at us.
Oh, my God.
I know.
That is a brutal society.
Yeah. It's very brutal, actually. It was very brutal.
Is that how you... You think humans should operate?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Stay still until
we're waiting
vines
for
grow
our
you.
Son to usurp you, James.
You definitely will.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're already grey like a silverback.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's only a matter of time before he takes over our household.
Just got to get him before he gets big.
Now, human culture is different. We respect our elders. Silver hair, silver fox.
It's true.
That is true. You're right.
Yeah. Mm. You're coming into your peak.
You know it.
So this week we are talking about the movie Tarzan, the 1999 Disney film.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You two selected it because you've watched it a lot.
We've watched the first 30 minutes a lot, we realized.
Yeah, and the soundtrack repeat over and over and over and over.
Fabulous Phil Collins.
The fabulous Phil Collins. Mm. I've listened to it so much that thing happens where you listen to it, you like it, then you hate it, and then you kind of like it again because you listen to it too much.
Yeah, it's a good soundtrack. I think they tried to replicate the Elton John Lion King situation.
Apparently, they got a few comparisons between the two. But it apparently is a bit different from other Disney movies because the characters weren't singing themselves.
Right,
Which was the sort of Disney musical tradition.
Mm. Yes.
And that was because the filmmakers thought it would be ridiculous to have Tarzan, this guy can't put a sentence together, all of a sudden breaking it, sitting on a tree and breaking a song. I'm like, that makes sense.
That is kind of ridiculous.
But I mean, it is a...
Wait,
we don't want this to become ridiculous.
Yeah, well, and see, this is... Because I read that too, and I think the guy, the director, what is his name? Kevin Limmer said that, and because he didn't want a naked man singing, because how ridiculous would like a half naked man bursting into song? That would be stupid. So what about like the Little Mermaid?
Yeah.
That's like a half naked lady singing. That's like
that's a half lady singing.
It's a half lady singing, and that's not ridiculous. That got me a little bit riled up.
Or like the Lion King, where animals are singing,
just like bursting. Just like, well, why is it? Yeah.
In this movie, gorillas talk.
Right.
So, I mean, where's the line, Lima?
I know. I actually reckon it's because he's so macho in this, the old Tarzan.
Yeah.
That he was like, oh, macho guy bursting into song.
Hasn't he seen Hugh Jackman?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Not in 99, he wouldn't have.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
That's true. We love Hugh Jackman, actually.
Yeah. We do love Hugh Jackman.
It's not weird.
Oh, that makes you guys real weird individuals.
I think so.
The rest of the world hates him.
That is true. He's so hateable. Oh, but we love him.
This is also, it's the end of the Disney Renaissance.
That's
people
right.
say. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, there was that golden era. It was like Little Mermaid to this. And it really is a definitive kind of period in time. Because I think after this, there maybe was Treasure Planet might have been the next one, which I love. I think Treasure Planet is great. But it really is the end of that Lion King Aladdin era. Yeah.
I've got them listed right here. So 89 was Little Mermaid, which brought back didn't bring it back, but it was the Renaissance. Then Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King, Pocahontas. So that's all. That's banger after banger.
Yeah.
Then Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Never seen it.
I haven't seen it, but I think that was biggish.
And it was not too bad. It's not like a full classic. Esmeralda's pretty good in it, but
a stirring endorsement.
Well, you know, it's not the Little Mermaid.
Right.
Or like Aladdin.
Well, I don't think the Little Mermaid's very good.
I think
the Little Mermaid is excellent.
We're probably because we're all around the same age, so we're maybe falling into the trap of going the ones from our childhood.
Exactly.
And then the back end of the 90s when we were probably pushing into our teens.
Too cool.
Yeah, that's very true.
So there would be people 5 years younger than us who'd be like, what are you talking about? Hunchback of Notre Dame. That's
the best movie of 97 or whatever it was.
And then that was 96, 97 was Hercules, 98 Mulan, and 99 Tarzan. So they released basically a movie a year, and
that's nuts.
And all nearly to the day, the same date. The first few were I think in December or November, and then the rest were like all around June something, almost to the day. So they had this formula for success.
Must have had multiple studios and teams obviously working
to get them made.
That's like a Pixar run though. That's a great run.
That is a great run. That's a heater.
Hot streak.
I still think though that The Little Mermaid is a major classic. And I know I was at the peak.
No,
time,
it is. You're right.
But
it
the
is.
Music in that is just so excellent and real
under
good.
The sea.
Under the sea. Darling is better. Down where it's wetter. I'm sorry.
That's okay. These are all getting live action remakes though. They're doing a live action Lion King.
I don't know. I have a real thing.
Doing an Aladdin. They're doing a what's the one? Up Mulan. They're doing that. And they're all musicals as well. Yeah,
I didn't realize. I hadn't heard the Lion King has got a sick cast.
It's got a sick cast. It does have a sick cast. Yeah.
But I don't know. I have a real beef, Matt Stewart.
Okay.
I have a real beef with CGI animals in movies talking and singing. It just annoys me.
Right.
It they ruined The Jungle Book. I was so angry after I saw that movie.
The Jungle Book isn't very good initially.
No, Baloo and the song is so good. And then they just ruined it with the live action.
I haven't seen it. I think we'll have to visit that. Maybe with you, Claire. It sounds like you have strong opinions.
It's got the, one of these.
Oh, it's got the wads.
Christopher Walken. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a giant orangutan in that one. I didn't like the orangutan in that one as much.
Who is that? Louis?
That's King Louis.
King Louis.
Yeah. Oh, he's the king of the swingers. Oh, the jungle VIP. Yeah, that guy.
Oh, that's cool. I haven't seen either of the Jungle Books, actually. But I have seen Tailspin featuring Baloo as an aeroplane pilot.
That's classic, maybe.
That is classic. I enjoy Tailspin.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
That's a wild crossover.
It really is.
Put on pants and a shirt.
Yeah, driving a plane.
You couldn't just come up with another bear? It feels like it's a different universe.
It's absolutely a different universe. It's existing IP. You gotta ride that train.
Yeah, that's true. But don't you reckon he's such a great character that Blue, you just want to see him again?
Sure.
He's so lovable.
He's lovable. Okay, I can't deny that. But then he's got this cool kid who surfs behind him.
With a big metal croissant or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That flips out.
Yeah, so it goes like a...
I don't remember. I've got that.
To stop doing hand gestures.
You really do.
It's like it fans out.
That's good.
It fans out into a metal croissant and he rides on it. Why he needs anything. Oh, I guess that makes sense.
Kid should be dead.
The kid should be dead.
That should be the quote from this podcast. Yeah, exactly.
Finally, someone has bloody said it.
Yeah.
So that was the glory.
Yeah, right.
The glory is they did, but there's been 9 eras. Apparently, we're currently in the second Disney Renaissance
with your Tangleds and your Frozen.
Yeah, and now I guess they just own everything, right?
They do, yeah, so absolutely. Yeah.
If you count all of that, then
I think I'd agree with that, though. Moana. I think we are in a really good era. Moana's I think Pixar's great. Kind of it's up and down, but I think currently the Disney run's really good.
Yeah, right.
They know what they're doing. You know why? Because they got all these women being like the central lead characters, being real strong and good.
Disagree.
Okay, I'd love to hear you out here.
Sure. No, I don't have any
other. No, I mean, so you disagree. I'm taking that at face value. Tell me more. Yeah. What have you got against strong women?
I don't know. I just feel, no, I'm not going down this road. Because even though I'm joking, some people will not take it that way.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
The primates listeners are very woke. So.
Oh, good.
They get irony, right, you guys? And by the way, if you don't get irony, then you turn this podcast off right now.
Hit the bricks.
Yeah. We don't want you here, okay?
I've noticed that's a theme. You've been telling people to not listen.
Yeah, look, I'm sorry. Yeah. So if you don't know, Claire is the head honcho of this network.
Mm-hmm.
So she probably doesn't like hearing me telling you to turn off the podcast.
That's why I don't like strong women. I just realized, I just figured it out. I just worked it out.
You live with one.
You live with one. Oh, God, women, am I right?
Aren't they great?
They're great. They are great.
On their merits. some obviously aren't, but
that is true. So,
like they are, and it's a good ratio. Female and all right.
Mm. Okay, that's good. Keep on digging.
Here is I googled short plot summary for Tarzan. Do you want to hear it?
100%.
It makes it sound real great. In this Disney animated tale, the orphan Tarzan, and they're all orphans, Disney movies, right?
That's true, yeah.
Nearly every single one includes, it revolves around orphans.
Sometimes Aladdin's dad will turn up in a sequel. But yes, really? Generally, yeah, they're orphans.
He?
Yeah, in Aladdin 3, it's good. It's actually good. It's a good movie.
Aladdin, Simba, you know, the list goes on.
Because Ariel's not.
No.
But she's only got a dad. Her mum died.
Yeah, so they, right. Yeah.
Yeah. But Moana's got both her parents.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for now.
For now. That is true.
Wait till Walt gets to him.
From the grave.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's frozen. Apparently that's not true, but still, I like to think that he's frozen and ready to go.
Tangent, just quickly. There's a rumor that Disney named the movie Frozen and Disney, so when people would Google that, they wouldn't come up with Walt Disney Frozen. Oh, that's a conspiracy theory.
I love that about it.
Yeah, me too.
Sorry, please, chimp, go on.
I like that fact.
Is that a thing on the show?
Chimp, go on. You know, it could well be. So the orphan Tarzan grows up in the remote African wilderness, raised by the gentle gorilla Carla, played by Glenn Close, Tarzan played by Tony Goldwyn, when a British expedition enters the jungle, Tarzan encounters the beautiful Jane, played by Minnie Driver, and recognizes that, like her, he's human. Falling in love with Jane, Tarzan is torn between embracing civilization and staying with his gorilla family, which becomes threatened by the ruthless hunter Clayton, played by Brian Blessed.
Great actor.
Great voice, great head, great beard.
Great storyteller.
He's everything I want to be.
He's the best. Yeah.
Brian. Yeah, I don't think I could talk that deep.
Definitely. And that's you saying that, so that's really saying something.
Brian Murphy. Like he's created a whole new thing.
Mm.
It had a budget of $130 million and made almost $450 million back.
It was a big hit. It's like big hit. Nearly as big as The Lion King, or the biggest since The Lion King.
I think
King,
biggest
is that right?
since The Lion King. Yeah. The Lion King was quite a bit bigger,
but
that's also like broken all sorts of records.
Lion King's an anomaly.
It's a real anomaly.
It's a great movie.
It is.
Such a good movie.
But apparently this was the first one since The Lion King that excited all age groups.
Okay, I can see that.
There was some sort of marketing research that went into that.
I bet, yeah.
And I'll play. How about now? I play you the promo clip.
Oh,
absolutely! I've not seen or heard this.
What a
delight! Yes.
Let's do it.
Was it alone?
Yes.
Are you sure?
There are no others.
I said he could stay. That doesn't make him my son.
Jesus, that looks good.
Whoa, that's scary.
It's full
that's
on, isn't
so
it?
So scary.
That's a weird take on it.
It's really dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think Disney's at its best when it's got like elements of darkness, though.
Darkness. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because our little guy, the reason we've listened to it so much is not because we're obsessed with it, but because our son is 100% obsessed with it, and the soundtrack especially. But there is that.
I love the 2-year-old Phil Collins fan is so funny. So good.
Well, he's such a like a great kid, but I mean, obviously, I would say that because I'm his mum. But he doesn't like the Wiggles. He's not into little kid stuff. But the minute he heard this particular soundtrack, that was it. Yeah. He was just sold forever.
You must be pretty happy about that, right?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, it's
Phil's
good.
A step up from the Wiggles.
Oh yeah.
No offense, Jeff.
Yeah.
Every time we listen to it, which is a lot, the song will finish and he always goes, what's the next one? Even though he knows the order of the songs, but every time, yeah. He loves it. He's well into it.
He knows all the words. Now he sings along to the soundtrack.
Yeah.
But there is something about when films are really have a dark edge to them. Like The Little Mermaid has a really dark edge to it. The Lion King does as well. Because kids aren't silly. They know the world has sort of that dark edge to it, and there's something about that that makes them drawn in to the shows. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They're sort of, I mean, obviously maybe he's a little bit young to be watching Tarzan, but there is something in that, I think. Like my favourite films and TV shows and things when I was a kid always had that kind of spooky, like safe but spooky kind of element.
Wasn't quite patronising, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe kids can tell that.
Yeah, oh yeah, kids are super switched on. Kids know.
There are some super dark moments in it. Like, I was watching it last night, and towards the start, is it Carla?
Yeah. Carla, the mum. Yeah.
Their kid wanders off chasing a butterfly, and then they're showing this leopard lurking or cheetah or whatever it is. And I'm thinking, like, obviously they're going to come and save their kid. It's a Disney movie.
Yeah.
And they do not.
I know, we do skip over that bit.
It's just out of shot, but it's
there.
It's very clear what is happening.
It's the same with the parents. That leopard, is it?
Yeah, is it a
leopard? Oh, is it a saber-toothed tiger or something?
They call it saber. But they do.
But maybe it's a leopard.
Yeah. But it kills his parents. And apparently there's a deleted scene where you see it kill his dad.
Oh, God. Yeah, is it rated dumb. PG? It's not, though. It's rated G, right?
I couldn't tell you.
Because there's a bit at the end where, spoiler alert, Clayton dies and gets, like, hung in the vine.
And you see, like, a shadow.
You see the shadow, yeah.
That's so
I've got a fact
up.
About that. Clayton is the 9th Disney villain to fall to his death and the first to die by hanging.
Dark. Actually, we are bad parents.
He never gets
really
that far. He gets 30
does.
Minutes
exactly.
in. Yeah.
It's mainly the soundtrack that he loves. Let's like backpedal maybe.
He's going to grow up and oh see the God. End and be like, what? Brian, bless it.
No. No, I know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently, this is according to the fact page on IMDb. Says, so a lot of the animals were changed from the original Burroughs text. What's his name?
Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Mm-hmm. Tarzan of the Apes.
And one fact says, as lions are not found in jungles, Saber was changed from a lion to a leopard for the film, which is the real apex predator of the jungle area depicted.
Perfect.
That's according to this one fact that I haven't verified. But it's interesting because apparently Burroughs had never been to Africa. So
he's just like bears
a whole series
and
based on picture books that he'd seen growing up or whatever. There's a whole paragraph about other ones that have been changed if you're interested.
Because they're not gorillas either, are they?
No, that's right. So in the novel, he was adopted by apes. Apparently, he made up a fictional species of great apes, Edgar Rice Burroughs, called Mangani.
Right.
And also an invented language used by the apes. And apparently Mangani is their own word for great ape. But in this film, it's gorillas.
Yes.
Apparently this is the first time they've used gorillas. Before this, it was chimps, like in Greystoke, The Legend of Tarzan.
Oh, bloody
Lord of the apes
Christopher Lambert.
84. Oh, yeah. Lambert.
Ooh.
And in that, there was only one gorilla mentioned, Bolgani the Great. Perhaps that was in the text.
Is that a villain?
Yeah, maybe. Bolgani the Great. I mean, it doesn't sound so good. It sounds like a magician.
It does.
Really.
Yeah, well, I read that the, you know, the character Turk, you're probably going to get to this. I'm interrupting you. But Turk was a villain. Like, his character originally a villain called Turkers.
Yeah, Turkos.
Perhaps
pronounced Turkos. Turquoise.
Yeah, exactly. And they changed her to a girl gorilla.
Yes.
Called Turk. Yeah.
And made them more friendly. They were sort of like, yeah, best mates.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Voiced by Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. The only character that was voiced by the same actor as a child and as a grown up.
Very good.
They tested out a few different actors. Yeah. And none of them could get her sassiness down.
Probably not. I'd imagine so.
Yeah. Well, because you hate that character, don't you?
No, you know, it's kind of grown on me. You know what I do like about this movie? There's a lot of advancements made in 2D and 3D animation, the way they blend it together. I'm sure you know this because a lot of the environments are 3D and they invented some new program to blend it with
the 2D character. Yeah, what was it called? Deep Canvas or
something. That's the one.
Deep
Canvas. Yeah. And a lot of the money apparently went to that. But there's the way, the fluidity that they move. Like, you look at the way the leopard moves and the way Tarzan moves. There's not really anything else like it prior to that. Right. Especially if you go back to, like, the Jungle Book and it's just kind of animals plodding along. But that leopard fight at the start was trying to get the baby Tarzan.
Yeah,
it's insane.
It is wild. Yeah. I think it's quite a distinctive drawing style as well, right? It doesn't look like, certainly not the early 90s films. I'm not super familiar with the ones that came out around it. Is it similar to that? Have you seen?
It looks a bit like Treasure Planet.
Right.
Jane's character has a similar profile to characters in Treasure Planet. Mm. Yeah. So it's kind of moved forward. I noticed that too in the art style of the beach and the water. That looks really incredible.
Yeah, right.
Like the
shadows. Waterfalls.
Yeah, the waterfalls.
Where the elephants were, you know, washing in the lake part. That all looked pretty sick.
It did. It looked super sick. Where Tarzan like jumps off the cliff and lands on a hippo, which is our little guy's favorite moment.
Right.
And he's always like, it's a hippo, even though he's seen it like 1,000 times.
Hippo will kill you. Hippo would kill a boy.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these things would kill a boy.
Yeah. Did you find the character of Turk and like ambiguous as to whether it's a boy or a girl?
I think early on they say something like she or...
Right.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
I just assumed it was a girl because of the Rosie O'Donnell thing, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can see that though because he's a bit kind of tomboyish. And
I'm pretty sure early on it's mentioned probably for that reason.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's a whole thing. When I Googled it, the movie, there's a lot of sort of like, is Turk a boy or a girl? I always love seeing that in Google search histories, like what people Google about a film is really random. And what I liked about it was that it's the first time you see a kind of female character that's a tomboy that's like really rough and tumble and kind of funny and sort of and not particularly good and not really a villain but just kind of a character in the whole thing that and you don't see that. It's the first time you kind of see a tomboy-esque kind of character in a Disney film.
And that's what's confused people. And
yeah, it is. And they all wonder if she's actually a boy or a
girl.
Isn't
it funny that people, it's like, it's a cartoon gorilla. Why?
Yeah.
Why do you need to fit it into a gender in your head?
Exactly. But I think, because watching it now, like from all the stuff that I read recently, because I read a lot of like feminist kind of stuff, when you look back at a film like this, it's really interesting the gender kind of roles that they all play. And the elephant is a boy elephant, but he's like really super nervous and has like is very kind of like almost a female character, and then Turk is like this gorilla who's like kind of more tomboy, which is kind of interesting because then Tarzan himself is super masculine, like so masculine, and they were like he could never burst into song, you know. And then Jane is super feminine, and he has to save her all the time, and she's always like, "Oh, Tarzan, oh, save me from the things." And if you look at the dialogue, Clayton says things like "women" and like kind of puts her down. Even her dad says something like, "Oh," because when she tells him about Tarzan and about how Tarzan's actually, she's found this man in the jungle. Neither of them believe her. And the dad even says something like, "Oh, she's just like her mother, making things up. Women are crazy." Like that kind of
implication. Do you think that's also to be like, "Oh, no, she's right," and these people just don't know better? Or do you think it's more kind of, you know, legitimately like having a go, being like,
I can't.
Women.
I don't know. know. Because
like the Clayton character is like undeniably an asshole. Yes. So I think it would make sense that he's got dumb ideas about everything, which he sort of does.
Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, the dad is weird. He's sort of he's an odd one. Obviously, it's all spoilers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But towards the end of the movie, when Tarzan's staying with the gorillas and Jane and the dad are going home to England, the dad goes, "No, you should stay. You love him. Just stay." Which I'm like, oh, that's a weird thing. The dad's just said goodbye.
Yeah, you found someone who loves you.
Swim back to the shore.
He'll look after you.
Yeah, go
back to the gorillas and live with them now. But some might argue that her, like, having to be the one who stays with him, change her whole life. Maybe.
Yeah.
Is that, I don't know if that's weird.
Yeah, well, I think because for me, the picture book that we've got of Tarzan as well, because.
Oh, yeah, you hate that book.
I hate that book. Oh, my goodness, I hate it. Because at the end, there's a line in there that says, like, Tarzan was so happy to be taking his rightful place as leader of the blah and happy with his family. And then the line for Jane is literally just like, Jane was happy she could stay with the man she loved.
that's literally
what it says. And, that's my kind of issue with it, that the roles are very gendered and that throughout it, and even Carla, who's played by Glenn Close, who is a kick-ass, you know, strong woman as an actor, but her character, it is very loving and nurturing and beautiful, but she never does anything that kind of rises up other than she does save the baby.
Yeah, right at the top, she's known as being a badass. Like,
that's true. Yeah, she doesn't do much else.
But she come back and she asks permission to keep the baby. And she's basically waiting to hear either way.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes or no, it's entirely up to you.
Yeah, and Kerchak is like this like really like kind of really angry, aggressive character, like the gorilla, and is like the leader of the thing, and it's sort of implied, well, I mean, obviously it's gorilla hierarchy and that is what happens, the silverback are in charge, but it does have this kind of weird undertone of like, is it okay and can I keep this baby, and we've got to keep Kerchak happy. What is he gonna do, you know? It is a weird vibe, and it's only now in 2018 when I'm being all woke or something that I'm looking back at these films and being like, whoa, there's some real messaging in there.
I don't think Kerchak's a particularly, because he dies, but I don't really care. He's like, you are my son. It's like too late.
Yeah.
You fucked up. You did 20 years of just being a total prick.
Yeah, he's no Mufasa.
No, he's definitely
but
not.
But they also softened him a lot, apparently. Apparently, maybe in the book, he was the one who killed Tarzan's parents.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah.
And Jesus. Yeah, like I think that they tried to make him more likable. Yeah. This, but he's still.
I know, and I also understand where he's coming from, because he's trying to protect
the
tribe or pack or clan, whatever they are, and also because of what happens to his son. I get that, but I feel like they don't do enough towards the end to be like, he's all right.
He could have, I don't know, he could have made a gesture before dying.
Yes. Just anything.
And
he's not wrong though either, the same time. Yeah. He's not wrong.
But I think what I liked is that the Jane character, played by Minnie Driver, is really kind of, like, she has some really funny kind of moments, and she's quite clever and smart in lots of ways. But I, at the end, they sort of were like, oh, no, Jane kind of gets a little turn. She swings on one vine and then hits the cage that Carla's locked in, and then she can't get it open, and that's it. Then Tarzan comes in and opens it for her.
Thank God.
Then saves her. And then I think she tries at one point to get Clayton or something, and he just like hits her aside, and that's her sort of like, I'm a strong jungle woman moment. And so I think now, if it was to be made, surely they would they would give her more of a
She might be the one coming in to help Tarzan open it and stuff like that. Like, genuinely, they probably would look at doing stuff like that.
They did
open it together, because I noticed that as well. Yeah. But they both came in and sort of helped rather than pushing her out of the way. But still,
that's true.
In the new movie with Margot Robbie, I think she does more in that from memory. Like, they've kind of developed that character.
Yeah.
But there is actually a sequel TV series to, well, there's a sequel movie that's kind of a prequel, and there's a TV series, an animated series, which explores their further adventures. And they never leave the island, as far as I know. But in the story of Tarzan, he goes back and takes on the family, because his name is John Clayton, which is weird. There's another guy named Clayton.
He is weird.
And he runs his family estate and he makes trips back to the jungle.
He's related to Clayton. That's why.
Is he really?
Yeah. In the book, apparently he's his cousin or something.
Really?
That's a big coincidence.
Yeah, it is a big coincidence.
Yeah.
But that, and they thought about it for the movie that taking him back to England, but they
it's a lot in one movie. Yeah. I understand that. But I think
otherwise it becomes Babe Pig in the City.
That old classic.
Or, what's one of those other, all the Australian movies that end up doing that? Not Indiana Jones. What's the
Crocodile Dundee?
Crocodile Dundee.
Goes to Los Angeles 3 or whatever that
was. But even in the first one, he goes.
He does, yeah.
It's like, let's get a, that's what do you call it?
The fish out of water.
Yeah. That's right. The Encino Man style.
Yes.
Is that what Dunstan checks in is? Or is that different?
Isn't that just about a orangutan in a hotel?
Well, you've got to listen to a very recent episode and get your head right around it. But it's an orangutan in a hotel.
Oh, it sounds like I love hotels and I love orangutans.
Oh, well, this is your movie. Do you love Jason Alexander?
I do, actually.
Yeah, perfect.
I've never seen it, but I presume he's the guy's like, there's a gorilla in this hotel or whatever.
Not quite. He's the guy who's going... All right, son. There's a.
Oh, he's not the villain. He's the dad.
No, he's the dad. He's like a really nice dad.
Okay.
He's a great hotel runner. The villain is his boss.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Do you think that there are a lot of movies in the 90s set in hotels?
Yeah, maybe.
In like hotel lobbies with like friendly desk.
The concierge
hotel.
With Michael J. Fox.
That's what I mean.
Or Pretty Woman. Two.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
there you go.
Pretty Woman's the 80s, is it? Oh, it's early 90s.
It'd be late 80s, early 90s.
That kind of time. I always feel like there's like the friendly concierge.
Yeah, yeah.
He's always like, madam, or something.
Go and chase your dream. Or
like in Notting Hill, there's that scene at the end in the hotel. I don't know. Is that a 90s thing?
That must be a 90s thing. I wonder why that is. Monkey movies
film.
And hotels.
Yeah.
And obviously Dunstan checks in.
Whoa, it's just bringing it all together.
The center of the Visa diagram.
Some say it would be the pinnacle of 90s film.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I do like about this movie? I think it does.
Dunstan checks in.
Yeah, it's great. I've never seen it, classic. Actually. I really like the family dynamic and the relationship between Tarzan and his mother, the way that she's like, we're the same. And he's like, we're not really the same, but she kind of turns him around on it.
Look at our eyes.
Yeah, like that. I like that message. And I think our son likes that message as well, that like that's his mum and whatever, even though it's not his real mum. I don't know if he fully understands it. He probably doesn't. I'm probably projecting. No. But I like that element of it. And it kind of, towards the end, not so much, but I really like that initial stuff, that unconditional love, protection kind of thing at the start.
Yeah, the mum character is sick.
Yeah.
She's great.
And I, she is. And I Glenn love, Close. I love Glenn that Close. Scene.
Glenn.
Yeah. You're a big softie over there, James.
As I get older,
as a dad.
Yeah, boo.
As a dad.
God, I hate myself.
I do love that too when he's looking in the water as and sort of trying to be someone else, you know, putting all the mud on his face. And that's the same kind of feeling I get watching The Lion King.
Mm.
You know, when Simba's all like, who am I? And Mufasa's in the sky being like, be yourself or something. I can't remember what he said.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I can't remember what he says.
Yeah.
But you know, this is the thing with the Rafiki
monkey. Yeah, oh, it's great.
He sings that big song number, Be Yourself.
Be yourself. Be yourself. That was it.
Don't be someone else. Yeah,
be yourself. Yeah, that one.
That was a cracking tune.
I should have written the Lion King song.
We should do the Lion King in the future as well, because that's got
it's got a baboon.
Rafiki,
Yeah, Asante sana, squash badana.
Rafiki means
great
friend
character.
In
it does.
Swahili.
And Asante sana means thank you very much. Yeah.
Banana means banana too.
It does, because we can speak Swahili.
No, well, you can speak a little bit.
I can speak a bit of Swahili because we lived there. Mm. We lived in Tanzania for a while.
What?
6 months.
Yeah, really? 6 months in a village over there.
Yeah, we taught.
Before we looked at the
And there were monkeys at the back of the school.
There were monkeys in the trees. There were. Yeah.
And were these disappointing as well?
They weren't disappointing. They were fun-loving monkeys.
Fun-loving.
And free. You could go and see. They didn't cost $1,000 to see
what?
Them.
No.
I think it was $1,000.
It was so much money. Yeah, and we were so, like, had no so money broke, at the time. Yeah. We saved so many pennies to go and see the farting gorillas.
Oh, they were... They were never going to reach your expectations.
Yeah, that's true. We'd put a lot of
if you put your life into it, life savings.
Yeah, we kind of did it that time.
Everything.
Yeah.
Because I mean, what would have been, what could they have possibly done?
Ride a bike. Yeah.
Yeah. Ride a tricycle, which is what happened in Tarzan.
Happy now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we did live in, and we actually also went chimpanzee trekking.
Oh yeah, we did.
That was
actually really interesting.
That was really interesting. We kind of like chased these chimpanzee tribes through the trees.
And one was missing a hand. This is unrelated. One was missing a hand because it got caught in a poacher's trap.
Oh, I hope if you find that hand, do not make any wishes. Number one rule.
It got caught because they've got really complex societies. Also, they eat other primates and they're vicious animals. And they waited with this creature until the hand came off and they brought it food. So it's this one-handed chimp.
So the chimpanzee, which is a female chimp, she was in the tree. So, and the keepers were trying to get to her to try and help her, but none of they were so like protective, they wouldn't let her up there. And instead, they just brought her food and water.
Until her hand fell off.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that true?
Yeah, because it cut off the circulation and it, or maybe it didn't fall off, but it, I guess it died enough to kind of get it.
Oh, yeah, right.
And those things remember because I've got. Sorry, this is unrelated.
No, this feels very related. Really,
this is what we were told. I don't know whether this is true, but they remember people, and they've got people that take you in and show you where they are and track them. And guys would sometimes work for them who used to be poachers. No, because, you know, for money, people do it, you know, it's I'm sure most people don't love shooting chimpanzees, but they remember and they flip out. So you can't have known them prior
to working there.
If you're a poacher, because they recognize guns, they recognize faces.
That's great.
Yeah, so.
They're really, really intelligent. Well, chimpanzees are actually not gorillas. Chimpanzees are the closest to humans.
Yeah, that's right, about 98% shared DNA.
Yeah. So they're super savvy. And eat each other.
Yes.
They do.
That's the 2% difference.
Science.
We missed the eat each other gene.
Yeah, we did.
This movie, Tarzan, was very well reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Ebert, do you give him any credence?
Oh, totally, 100%. Yeah.
He's like one of the most famous, and he's got the weird out of 4-star reviewing system.
Yes.
And he gave it 4 stars.
Okay, yeah.
And this is some of what he said. He said, the most durable movie character in history emerges this time as a man who asks the question, why are you threatened by anyone different than you? Which is kind of what you were talking about there. This is not the confident Tarzan of so many Edgar Rice Burroughs novels and Johnny Weissmuller movies discovering cities of gold. It is a Tarzan who knows from the day he compares his hand with the hand of Kala, the ape who adopted him, that he is different.
That's what I love of this, Rex. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And then, he talks about how they used a lot of, borrowed a lot of stuff from Japanese animation and saying how in Japan, animation is an accepted art form for serious films.
Mm.
And Tarzan isn't a kiddie cartoon, but a movie that works on one level for children and another for adults.
I agree with all of that.
Very true. It really gets you in the heart. Space.
Yeah, right there.
Right there in the old ticker.
I'm pointing to my heart.
Yes.
I actually think it's more slightly to the left.
I'm pointing to my chest.
Yeah, Matt's heart's in the center.
He's pointing to his sternum,
yeah,
which is essentially where you feel all feelings.
Yeah.
That means that I don't think the back end of this film is as good as the first half.
Right.
Because look at the way The Lion King ends. Like, that's a dynamite ending. Well, it's a dynamite movie.
Yeah.
But this is not as much towards the end.
Yeah. Right. That's true.
Because it feels like they try to, it's kind of a bit rushed in some ways, the ending as well. They're trying to wrap up a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And it moves very quickly, that final third.
It's a lot of montage.
Yeah.
It's a lot of montage.
A lot of Phil Collins montage.
That's in part maybe because they didn't want to have the characters singing. So instead they got Phil Collins basically acting as narrator.
Yep.
So that for that to work, it had to be montage, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think it works as a thing to do it that way, to have Phil Collins as the narrator singing?
It's a bit different. I mean, it goes straight off the bat. It's into a montage.
Yeah.
Like it opens. Yeah. And apparently it took them years to figure it. They tried it a bunch of different ways to start the film.
I think it's a great opening. I think it tells the whole story, how they got there. It's, in 2 minutes or whatever it is. Yeah.
And it somehow manages to also really make you like his parents in a very short space of time.
Yeah, they really, obviously they do any, like, they're kind of badass people. They go, we're shipwrecked. Well, we'll just make a house out of the wreck.
Yeah.
And it's a bloody great house.
It's a palace.
It's a good house.
It is a palace.
And the dad's mustache is spectacular.
It is spectacular. Yeah. Also redheads.
Oh, yeah. I love that about them.
Are they redheads?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Tarzan's not, but they are.
I think maybe that's because his hair's all matted and dreaded. And it's supposed to be dreads, I think.
It's brown hair, I reckon. Okay. Yeah, it does. It's all dready. The way it moves is very dready.
Mm.
Is that a word?
Yeah, yes, dready.
Yeah.
Dready.
I love the soundtrack, though, for a couple of those classic songs.
Mm.
So the soundtrack, you play it a lot.
Yes.
It'd be fair to say you love it. Well, did you know that it was also loved by the public?
Whoa. Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
It charted in the top 10 around the world, including in Austria, France, Germany, and the US.
Wow.
A top 10 album for a cartoon Monkey Man.
Monkey Man movie. That must be Phil Collins' last, like,
big hit, big I hit, think. Yeah, I think it is. Mm. Yeah. So, and it also won Academy Award for Best Music Original Song.
For You'll Be In My Heart.
For You'll Be In My Heart, yeah.
Makes sense.
Love that
and
song.
And it won the equivalent Golden Globe as well. And it was nominated for the Grammy. It didn't quite EGOT. It didn't get the Tony or the Grammy. But it won for Best Soundtrack Album at the Grammys and was nominated for the single but did not win it.
Not bad.
Not bad, Phil Collins. Not a bad effort.
I should see who bloody won it that year. Who could have possibly been?
Yeah, that's a good call. Was it Wild Wild
Phil
West?
Collins.
Beautiful Stranger by Madonna.
Get the fuck out.
No way. That is not that good
Trash.
Song.
Trash.
Ripped off, Phil. Yeah. If you're listening.
So ripped off.
I stand with Phil.
Yeah, me too. So many classic songs there, Phil Collins.
So many classics. Did you know this? That it was the soundtrack was re-recorded in multiple languages because the film was at that time it was a Disney film that was made into the most languages than ever before.
Really? Which I guess is probably pretty common now, but for then not as much.
And Phil Collins actually he sang the songs in Italian, German, Spanish, and French.
That's good stuff.
As well as English.
As well as English.
That was him too.
Yeah that was him.
I would love to hear it in German. That would be really funny.
That would be fun.
And we can wrap up the episode with You'll Be In My Heart, German.
I'll find a little bit maybe to clip on right at the end.
Yeah, that would be great.
So I didn't want to create more work for you then.
I have no editing rule. You'll have to sing it. Sing your imagining of it. Claire, you mentioned when you suggested this as a topic, you're like, Fabulous Phil's got a big history with primates, and I didn't really know what you were talking about.
You just went, yeah.
His mother is a primate.
What?
Oh, no, I don't know. I think she could be, but I don't think so. No, because he does that really cool Cadbury's ad.
That's right. Is that a worldwide ad? Do you know?
I think it's different songs in different regions. Because I know there's a John Farnham one they do here.
Okay.
But I think that maybe the universal one is Phil Collins. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just talking.
It's brilliant though. It's that ad with it's a gorilla playing the drums.
Man and a gorilla, so it looks the same. Yeah.
And it's such a brilliant, like, it's just so kick-ass and awesome. I used to play it as like a reward for the kids in my grade when we like got 5 stars on our sticker chart, and it was their favorite thing to watch.
You play them an ad.
Yeah, I know.
For chocolate.
Yeah. I really.
Some kids would want chocolate.
Yeah, true. I couldn't give them the chocolate. I am going to go out on a limb and say they would prefer to watch the ad than eat chocolate.
Wow.
Because it is that good an ad. Have you seen it?
Yeah, similar sort of rush.
Yeah, the rush. Yeah. It's that, like, that Phil Collins kind of esque with the drum thing that I'm doing with my hands now.
It's a hard come down though, like sugar, you know what I mean? You get that high peak and then you just crash.
Yeah. The follow-up ad's like for LJ Hooker or something. Like,
Come on.
Need to chase that at Cadbury High. Yeah, that's right. I hadn't thought about that ad in ages, but that was a great ad.
It is really.
Was it In the Air Tonight, I think?
Yeah.
Yes.
The famous drum solo.
Yeah. I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
You know,
yeah,
you don't really know this good. About Claire, but if you mention a song or sing a couple of words to a song, she will then finish that song.
It's my favorite
LJ Hooker jingle.
You're the best. See?
That's it.
Yeah.
Burke's Backyard.
It's not annoying at all.
Burke's Backyard.
I don't know Burke's Backyard. And also, I don't like Don Burke.
No,
I'm not
going to
sing a song for that
again,
guy.
Again, going out on a limb. For those who don't know, Don Burke, he was a big star TV gardener in the 80s.
Yeah, 80s and 90s, yeah.
And
notoriously bad bloke even at the time.
Yeah. And I never realised that. I wasn't a big fan of gardening shows as a kid, to be honest.
I loved Burke's
My parents
backyard.
Were
in Burke's backyard.
But apparently, bad guy.
Yeah. Psychopath. Sociopath, I should say.
Well, that's the end of the Burke's Backyard segment of the show.
I'm so glad we got there.
Here's something, because I don't normally write notes, and I was watching it in bed last night, and the only note I wrote was, the elephant is using its trunk as a periscope. Do you remember that?
No. So at which point?
And when the elephant swims out to the ship, it puts its trunk out, and then we see the periscope from the trunk.
Really?
So in this universe, elephants can see through their nose.
Yeah.
That is so weird because your eyes are not in your nose.
That's right.
That's what I was thinking.
So how does that work?
I'm sure it's a perspective thing and not really, but that sounds like it's really, it's insane.
Look, to be honest, it took me out of the movie.
Yeah, well, it would. It would. Breathing, I understand. Yeah. Of course.
Sure.
Imagine but looking, if you could see out of your nose, though.
To what end?
Because you could see into the cup. See into a cup before you drink it. That's useless.
Do you think that it has anything to do with the fact that this was pre-9/11 and the world was a much more innocent place?
Yeah, that's probably it. You know? I'd imagine, yeah.
Elephants could see through their noses. Different times. Here's some interesting facts that I found. Did you know, this one I actually noticed.
Mm.
Did you notice when Tarzan and the gorillas found the English people's little setup that there was a tea set?
Yes, I did notice this.
Yes.
Identical to the tea set from Beauty and the Beast.
What?
Down to the chip.
Yeah.
What?
So I was looking into it and
how deep does this go? Yeah.
Well, there are theories that Jane is a descendant from Belle.
Yellow dress.
They wear the yellow dress.
She's
got very similar hair.
Does that mean that the cup still exists?
Yeah, so
or it's a different.
I think they're
well,
so
that's
cool
what they're
got the chip.
Yeah.
If it didn't have the chip, you could say it's based on it. But why would the cup
have
the same
chip?
But didn't they come back to life as humans?
But maybe they were based on existing
right
sources and plates.
The other thing that confuses things is that Belle was French and the porters are English.
Sure. That's okay.
But, I mean, that can happen.
It's not that far. It's not like she's...
It doesn't take long
like
to lose an accent.
Native you can American. Get the they're not that far apart.
No, you can get the train from London to Paris.
That's right.
You know.
I mean, not them.
Under the ocean.
Under the sea.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Could it be?
I had to try so hard then not to sing Under the Sea. I was like, no, Claire, don't do it. It's not that funny.
So, and there's more though, because even both of their dads were kooky old guys with big grey mustaches.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
They were just like, there's definitely something, and it's clearly not a coincidence, but what they mean by all that.
Well, even the dad in Aladdin, the Sultan, is very similar, like short, like ridiculously short with a white beard and everything.
Oh, I wonder what that is about Disney and short dads.
Short white-haired dads.
What's their deal?
It's a different time.
Yeah, exactly.
Have the dads been short? Like Moana, big dad.
Big, huge dad. Yeah.
Massive dad.
No mustache as well.
And competent.
Yeah, they're all quite bumbling, funny kind of dads with like a monocle or something.
This movie, I think, though, is set in, it's either 1888 or 1911, depending on what timeline you go and depending what movie or the TV show and real life characters that move into it. So I don't know how that ties into when Beauty and the Beast was set. I think
Beauty and the Beast was, a while before.
Okay.
Quite generations before at least. So
right.
Time for them to move as a family. And drop the French accent.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. But pass down the teapot. That's right. Cup with the chip in it.
Yeah, that's right. So it's obviously an heirloom. Why would you bring it to the jungle?
Weird.
It's an old family heirloom.
I mean, why would you bring a penny farthing? I'm saying so you could see a gorilla ride a bike, obviously. It's a ridiculous question.
True.
There was another one. Will you guys talk about something for 1 second? I found there was another Disney callback.
What have I got in my notes? Hang on. Unless you've got something, Claire. You got a song you want to sing?
Yeah, always got a song I want to sing. That's my favorite thing.
Here's something. Okay, this might be your fact, but the Tarzan swinging through the vines and sliding on the trees, that's inspired by Tony Hawk. He was a skateboarder in the 90s.
Really?
That's a great fact. Yeah, apparently it was based on like videos of Tony Hawk skating.
Does he have long hair? Swishing around the dreadies or something?
But if you see the way he moves his feet and jumps and all, you can see how they drew that inspiration. Also, it was the 90s where extreme sports were coming up in a big way. The X Games, you know?
X Games!
That's right, X Games.
Extreme! I don't know why I'm doing that.
Yeah, no, that's all good stuff.
Yeah, that is really good stuff.
Yeah.
I love that, actually. That is one of my favorite montages when he's growing up. It feels like a Rocky montage.
It does,
when he's son of man, a man in time you'll be. Do you love my shoulder moves while I do it?
Yeah, that's
no
my
one can see
part.
It, but it's my favorite thing. What is your favorite song of the soundtrack, as we've learned?
Definitely You'll Be in My Heart one. Though I do like the opening song.
Yeah, the opening's my favorite. Yeah, I really like
Two
that
Worlds.
One. Yeah.
Two Worlds, One Family.
It's a banger.
It's an absolute banger.
Let they decide. Yeah, it's really great. I get really when I listen to it, I get all inspired.
Yeah.
Yeah, to do things.
This is something I remember from the time. I didn't see this when it came out because I was becoming a teenager and I was too cool for this movie.
With your long hair and your fringe.
Yeah, I looked real cool. But
hanging at train stations.
Hanging at train stations. But it was Tarzan, I think, I remember reading he was based a bit off like a gazelle, like the structure of him, like his musculature and the feet.
Of a gazelle.
Yeah, because he's like kind of lithe in parts.
Mm.
And this might be wrong. And the feet was based off, was like the exact feet of either the producer or director or writer's wife or something, because he's got really specific feet. Like, they're a little bit exaggerated, and there's that big gap, and they're kind of like ballet dancer kind of feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I remember reading that, but I don't know whether that's true or I've just made it up.
Well, it's interesting. She must have some really interesting
crazy
feet.
Crazy feet.
Because they're wide. I remember noticing that, actually. They're very wide feet.
Yeah, right. Maybe she was a duck.
She could have been a duck. You never know.
Mm.
Do you? Because the way that he like runs and slides, those feet must be leathery tough.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like tough as leather, James. That's what I was getting at.
If we're looking at we've taught in places where kids don't wear shoes.
Yeah, actually,
and they don't even notice. They can walk over anything.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah,
for me, I can't walk on carpet without shoes.
No, you can't. You've got very delicate feet.
I do.
Yeah, our feet are the same size, actually.
That's not true. That is true, actually.
That is actually true. It's great. We can share shoes.
And we do, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't have big feet for a lady. I don't have Tarzan-esque feet.
No, you don't. You don't have tiny feet, though.
Hang on. I'm a 7.5. Size
we don't
38.
Have the same size feet then.
Oh, is yours like
I'm like
a half.
An 8.5.
This is a riveting conversation.
Matt, please come back.
You come back, Matthew.
It's not worth the wait at all. But I just read just before you guys got here, I read that there was another weird little nod to a previous Disney movie, and this is it, according to, again, on the trivia page of IMDb. It says, when the gorillas pick up Professor Porter and turn him upside down, a beanbag toy of Little Brother from Disney's Mulan falls out of his clothes.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's a weird one.
That's a weird little Easter egg, isn't it?
That's like, I guess that would be like a folk story from that point.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Mulan's good. It's a good movie.
It is a good movie. It's good. And it also has that that song that you love.
It does.
What's the song called about a man? It's got a similar theme about I'll make a man out of you, like son of man.
Sure, because they both have the word man.
Yeah.
Matt, in case you didn't.
No, it's similar.
That is almost too similar. It's, it's uncanny.
It is uncanny.
I mean, it's like, well, yeah, how do they get away with that? Call yourselves a creative company.
Oh, yeah, it's because it's Disney. That's why they just got the name.
So disappointed by that.
Yeah.
So overall, what you obviously like this movie enough.
Yes.
I mean, you wouldn't have shown it to your kid in the first place. You never give your kid a chance to get addicted to a movie unless
a
you like
bit.
It at least at first.
100%, yeah.
That is true.
And how's it held up?
Well, I only saw it as an adult.
Right.
So I've always kind of felt the same way about it. My opinion hasn't really changed. So I still think it's solid. I don't think it's top tier Disney. I don't think it's like The Lion King. It might be better than Aladdin.
Yeah.
But
no. God no.
Aladdin's a bit.
It's got Robin Williams the genie.
There's parts of Aladdin which I don't want to get into it, but there's a monkey, so let's come back.
Yes, boo! Oh, I should have done Aladdin. I love Aladdin.
You can come back. You got to come back and do all the Disney movies with monkeys in them,
yeah. Or without monkeys. We'll commit to it. Yeah.
But what commit. About
you? What about you, Claire?
I am kind of curious as to why this is the movie that we showed our son in the first place. Because it's not.
He likes animals.
He hasn't seen The Lion King. He hasn't seen Little Mermaid. I think it's because my mum gave him a book of Tarzan.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he got so obsessed with it that then we listened to the soundtrack and then it progressed to the movie. I think that, it's a pretty good movie. It's not terrible and it's not incredible. I think the soundtrack for me is better than the movie.
Right.
Like, I just really lent into the Phil Collins soundtrack. Mm.
But Matt, what do you think of Tarzan Disney 99?
I thought it was pretty good. I think it probably would help to have loved it as a kid. It's probably one of those ones that nostalgia would definitely help with.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine. even like the illustrations of the animations, it's meant to be groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's groundbreaking 20 years ago. So I see it now and I'm like, it looks pretty dated to me.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I mean, I, the 3D stuff in the background, some of that is great. But the 2D stuff looks, to me, it looks super simple. So I think I think that's a stylistic choice as well.
Yeah, right.
I'm assuming.
Well, it is easy to animate, like the simpler it is. I know that's probably part of it,
And he does set a very high, maybe an unachievable standard for men's bodies.
I read a fact about that.
Yeah, I read that fact.
Okay, cool.
What was the fact?
His body led to one person sending a letter to one newspaper one time saying the standards were set too high for men's bodies.
Yeah, beauty.
For boys.
Oh, man. Because isn't that interesting? Because that is how I feel about literally every movie ever.
Yeah.
Like every movie ever and every cartoon ever. Like even now, even in 2018, I mean,
Even post 9/11.
But women's bodies are always unachievable. And particularly like in this, Jane has the waist of a pencil. And it's the same in all of those films. Women's bodies are like Barbie dolls. And it's ridiculous. And so it's really interesting to me that this is the one time you go, like, he's got too many muscles. It's unachievable.
It makes sense that he'd be pretty buff.
He'd have to be.
He's like pulling himself around a jungle.
Yeah, yeah.
To just be alive, to not be murdered every day, he'd have to be that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly. I could go on about this for ages, but I do.
Please do.
But I do think that one big problem for me is the female characters within this film and within a lot of Disney films.
Yeah.
I think they're getting so much better.
They're way better now.
Moana's awesome.
Yeah.
And even Tangled, the princess in that, is really great. But she's also still very, like, tiny waist and light, like, very small. Mm. So girls in films generally have to be the lead character or a love interest, you have to be the world's skinniest human.
You're forgetting about the movie Shallow Hell, but yeah.
I am. This is true.
But for the majority of that, we see her.
Gwyneth Paltrow is like one of the skinniest
people
in the world.
You got me, all right?
Yeah.
All right? You happy?
Yes. That makes me happy.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the way we like to judge here at Primates.
Sure.
I'd say, you know how you sort of like you pretend until it's something's reality? The way we do it here in these early episodes is, like you were talking about before, 98% shared DNA. So we give a ranking in percentage points, which how much you personally feel connected or similar, how much of you as a percentage is shared with the main primate character. So let's go off Carla. How much of Carla do you see in yourself as a percentage?
It's probably the character I'm most like, I'd imagine, from all of it, because I'm certainly not Tarzan. Yeah, I don't know, because having that young kid is probably that's the element of the story that I like the most as well.
Yeah.
So that's probably
that's what you do like the first half the most, you do say.
Yeah. So a percentage out of 100.
Well, could you know, you could go further if you wanted to.
Out of 4 stars.
You do it however you like. I mean, you can break the rules. Everyone else is stuck to a percentage. But if you want to come in here,
he's a big celebrity.
Fine. Let's say 98% because I'm not a gorilla.
Yeah, so right. That's right. You don't eat high. Other gorillas.
That's right. Generally, yeah.
That is very high.
It's very high. Yeah.
Super high.
See, I'm trying to think back. What would previous guests have said?
Well, that's the highest anyone's said.
Oh, no.
How about you, Claire?
Oh, 98% is bloody high.
What do you see in common between you and she?
And she and Carla.
Yeah.
Yes. Ah, well, the same, that she's got a little boy that she's looking after. And I really do like how much she encourages him to kind of believe in himself and embrace who he is and how they're, you know, the same at heart. So, but I actually, I reckon I'm going to go for like 80%.
80%.
80%.
Still a nice high percentage.
Yeah, high thinking? Percentage, but see, actually, I'm gonna retract. I'm going to say 70%.
70%.
Because I do think she could be a little bit more kick-ass.
Okay, more like you. And
yeah, more like me.
Yeah, I get that.
Kick-ass lady, yeah.
All right, and I'm going to say, I reckon maybe about 58%. We both have hairy faces.
Yep.
We both love the outdoors. we both would fight a leopard to save a baby Tarzan.
Yes. Okay.
On the other side, I don't have brown hair on my arms.
Okay. Good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lot skinnier than her.
Sure.
She is a beast.
She's a gorilla.
Quite literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's built like a bloody gorilla.
Yeah.
And I am not. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's probably and maybe also I live in a house.
Okay, sure, yeah.
So I think I in those ways am different. So that's why I come to the number that I
you
said.
You have
just
your
before.
Voice, yeah, yeah. Well, and not Glenn Close's voice.
That's right. Oh, yeah. That's okay. Yeah. So maybe maybe 52%.
Okay,
yeah, I forgot that I did not have Glenn.
Why
Close's
did I say 98?
You've really made a big mistake.
Well, I mean, as far as I understand it, you have Glenn Close's voice.
I just want to quickly say this. Humans share 50% of their genes with a banana.
With a banana?
So, yeah.
What?
There you go.
That shit is banana.
Yes, it is.
That shit is banana.
So that, well, I guess that wraps us up for Tarzan, but the other segment that I'd love you guys to be involved with, I know you're big fans of this segment, it's called Monkey Primate Sporting Mascots, the segment.
Every time, yeah.
Every time, that's what we've always called
that's
it.
That's an excellent one.
In episode 3 with Alistair Tremblay-Burchill, we talked about what I was calling the Hartlepool United FC's mascot, a monkey called Hengus the Monkey. I've since found out that it is actually Hartlepool. I found that out via multiple tweets from English people, so I do apologize for that. And since then, I've also those same people have also told me that there's more to this story.
Oh,
and luckily, there's also another sporting team, so I don't have to go back and talk about Hengus again. there's also a team in the same town of Hartlepool, a rugby union team there, and they're called the Hartlepool Rovers. They're also known as the Monkey Hangers.
Right.
Why are they known
as
this?
Yeah, that's what
It's a similar reason to why Hartlepool United FC's mascot is a monkey. It's this town has gone monkey mad. and it's because of this monkey hanging story, which I found on this is Hartlepool, hartlepool.co.uk. And here is the story. If you want to hear it, you got time to hear this?
Absolutely, I do.
The monkey hanging legend is the most famous story connected with Hartlepool. During the Napoleonic Wars, a French ship was wrecked off the Hartlepool coast. Another shipwreck. What is this, bloody shipwreck day or something? Yeah, I bet it bloody is. During the Napoleonic Wars, there was a fear of a French invasion of Britain and much public concern about the possibility of French infiltrators and spies. The fishermen of Hartlepool, fearing an invasion, kept a close watch on a French vessel as it came into the bay.
You got
it. It wrecked, washed ashore, and amongst the wreckage lay one wet and sorrowful-looking survivor, the ship's pet monkey, dressed to amuse in a military-style uniform. The fishermen apparently questioned the monkey and held a beach-based trial. unfamiliar.
I'm sorry,
with,
what?
Unfamiliar with what a Frenchman looked like. They came to the conclusion that this monkey was a French spy and should be sentenced to death.
Get the fuck out of here. They did. They what? They didn't know what the French looked like. They thought it was a monkey.
That's well, that's the story. I mean, this is on their own bloody town website.
That's insane.
So the monkey was hanged.
What?
The mast of a fishing boat providing the gallows.
So I guess no other bodies washed up.
No. Because otherwise they were going, oh, hang on a second. This one's a little smaller. Little hairy.
Because a monkey's little.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why it was just on the oar of a fishing boat. Oh.
So their question came up, is this true? Did it really happen like that? And apparently it's a big story there. They love it in Hartlepool. For a long time, it was a derogatory term by their neighbours going, oh, who hanged the monkey? That's what they question that. Oh, hey, who hanged the monkey?
They do have monkey madness. They have literal madness.
And that's why they've got... they're called the Monkey Hangers, the rugby team. The term, so for a long time, it was, who hung the monkey was a jibe that the Darlington...
It's like, who blew it? Is it that kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. Who shot first? That kind of thing. It's not like that at all. But apparently there is a much darker interpretation as well.
Please.
This one is less good.
Darker than hanging a monkey.
Yeah. well, depending on how you feel about monkeys versus humans, they say that the creature that was hanged might not have been a monkey at all. It could have been a young boy. After all, the term powder monkey was commonly used in those times for the children employed on warships to prime the cannon with gunpowder. That is the less told version of the story. Yeah.
Well, they're not called the boy hangers, are they?
Yeah, because that is... I mean, both of the versions of the stories are
both
fucked.
Aren't great, but that is grimmer.
That is
certainly grimmer.
Super grim. But yeah, a couple of centuries later, it's still the big story and it's still told.
They still call themselves the monkey hangers.
Yeah, but I don't think the locals aren't telling the boy story.
No.
But that's probably the
it's
real
probably
story,
what happened.
Right? Like that's...
It feels more likely, right? 200 years ago, English people knew that monkeys weren't French people.
Yeah, exactly.
Because a monkey's tiny.
And of those two stories, you tell the monkey one. Because that's a bad story, but it's better than hanging a boy.
Yes.
Oh, God. Well, you've really ended us on a low point there.
I did toss up between telling that version or not.
No, you did the right thing.
Feels like you got to get it all out there,
history
right?
will dictate you are the winner.
Yeah, and that poor kid.
I didn't really, as we're coming to the end, I didn't really introduce you very well as
that's
to where you guys are from. You both got shows on this
we
here
do.
Network.
We certainly do.
Claire, you just make the thing. Now, what is that thing called again?
It's called Just Make the Thing,
oh,
Matt.
Oh, right. Should have got that.
Should have.
Shoulda, didn't. Oh, no. Yeah, it's a podcast called Just Make the Thing about why humans get creative and also just life and chatting to people who make stuff.
And breaking ruts. And all that's
breaking ruts and dealing with imposter syndrome and all those things.
A lot that seems to come up is creative people are just humans too. And so you might not think you're one, but if you feel like you want to, just bloody do it.
That's
exactly what it is, right?
And you're on an episode.
I've been on an episode. You've been on a couple episodes.
Certainly have.
A lot of friends from around the network have been on, and it's well worth checking out.
Thanks there,
and
Matthew.
James... You're on the one that bloody started it all.
I have a podcast, yes. It's called The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. You have also guested. We did a shared universe episode, actually,
so
which
fun.
Might be...
We didn't talk about
we
the
did
Disney
not.
Animated
I
reckon
it's
universe.
Probably enough. We could do another one. I reckon we've probably found enough.
We need a sequel.
Yeah,
time.
Absolutely. It's time, yeah.
The people are demanding it. The people is me. Oh, by the way, I'm demanding it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's very demanding over there.
But it's a great show. Have you done many monkey related episodes?
I don't think
we have. Were you around for any of the Planet of the Apes prequels, reboots?
Yes, actually. Oh, I don't think we did one on the new one, or one of the new ones we didn't touch because it came out here like a month later.
Right.
But hey, maybe we'll do that. Maybe we could do a Planet of the Apes one
be
or something.
Very,
like that.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
You love Planet of the Apes.
We still get people asking actually about that last Planet of the Apes, being like, you never talked about it. Do an episode. I'm like, I'm not going to do an episode on a movie from.
Yeah, recent history.
It's so recent, but maybe we should.
That's chimpanzees, right? Is it? Or is it mixed? Yeah. There's lots
of... Oh, it is mixed, yeah.
Is it mixed? But there's lots of chimps.
But the main Caesar's a chimp.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm. And it's I would do circus. Anything for Caesar.
Yes.
It is a real circus. Yes. Very, very good. Thank you. Thanks so much for joining us today. This has been an absolute honor and a pleasure. This is the first time I've had a double guest.
Hey.
Kind of double clicks.
That's all. Yeah, double clicks.
So if you want to talk to me on the internet, which is a place you can access via computers and an internet connection.
Sure. Like I'm a cafe.
Yeah, an internet cafe, if you can find one. you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all at PrimeMatesPod. PrimeMatesPod.
So get those bloody reviews in as well. You're killing it on the charts.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, if you could give me some reviews, say some nice things ideally, but, you know, tell it to me straight. That's fine. Do a 5-star review and then tell it to me straight.
I like that, yeah.
That
yeah,
way we both win. And it'll be really good. We'll see you again next week. Thanks so much for joining us. Here is some potentially German Phil Collins.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you. Denn dir gehört mein Herz. Ja, dir gehört mein Herz. Von heute an für alle
Ewigkeit. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.